Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. And almost 14 years ago, folks, I introduced you to a really special person, and I had an idea back in those days. I remember the first time I introduced you to Joanna Brandy, and I had an idea. You know what? I think this is going to work. This lady's, she's got the come across. She's the real deal. And I was right, too, as I often am. And so, especially when it comes to really smart people. And Joanna's been joining us now for almost 14 years to talk to us about taking care of our customers, about being leaders. More recently, about the idea of being positive leaders. She's the author of a number of books, including Winning at Customer Retention. And she's our good friend, Joanna Brandy. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back, as always. Hey, Joanna, what's the difference in leadership and positive leadership?
Well, positive leadership comes from a new field of science called positive psychology. So it's not positive leadership versus negative leadership. A positive leader is very intentional in his or her ways. And the intention there is to create what we call a larger degree of positive capacity. It's the recognition that when we create more positive emotion in our company, that positive emotion ripples out to the customer. That positive emotion makes people feel good about coming to work. That positive emotion helps people perform better, increases their productivity, actually helps them be healthier, because the research done right now in the field of what they're now calling the science of positive psychology is stunning. Is absolutely stunning.
So positive is not new, but the study of positive psychology is relatively new. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 12 years ago, maybe yeah. 13 years ago. We began studying the increasing positivity as a science and what could be done to increase positivity. And, of course, it's now moved over into positive leadership as well as in your personal life. It's being taught at Harvard. By Tal Ben-Shahar.
Well, there you go.
It's being taught a lot. It's being taught a lot of places. I teach it, and the results are extraordinary.
So in Harvard, do you think when they're talking about this, they say, and Joanna Brandy teaches it?
No, I don't think so.
I bet they do.
But at some point they will.
You know, Joanna, so if I'm practicing leadership, if I'm, and as you know, that's not easy to do. I mean, there are a lot of managers out there. There are a lot of business owners out there. A lot of people doing business, run their companies, and they're not necessarily practicing leadership. They're practicing, you know, management, they're probably a little more of a driver than a leader. And so, just getting somebody to be a leader, meaning you're encouraging people to do things that benefit the company. So that's leadership. But you're saying positive leadership is leadership that has a different focus. It doesn't so much focus on the company's goals first in leadership. It focuses on the people that you're trying to lead. Is that what it means?
Well, I wouldn't exclude focusing on a company.
No, but the company.
First, but the people.
The idea is the company will get its share as long as we focus on the people first.
Absolutely.
Isn't that the difference?
That's the difference, and in addition to that, it's that we focus on the people, looking at what they're doing right, and looking at where they're strong, rather than looking to correct them and looking to find out what's wrong. There's a huge, it's an entire paradigm shift in how we think about working with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's focusing on their strengths. It's seeing how their strengths fit into our business goals. It's looking for what's right. It's a very solutions-oriented. I think typically business is problem-oriented. You know, we look at even the way they teach it in MBA programs, even the way they've been teaching business You know, there's a business case, there's a problem, and your job is to fix the problem. As opposed to having a visionary view and creating solutions. There's a difference there.
Is this a little touchy-feely for some people?
It's very touchy-feely for some people, and I deal with it head-on when I'm teaching it. Because
how much resistance do you get from grizzled old guys like me who grew up, cut their teeth, and were trained in the 20th century? How much pushback
do you get
from folks?
Well, if I have you, it depends on how, you know what? I work with CEOs, so that's a great question. I generally have them for 3 hours. After the first 60 minutes, there's no resistance. There's resistance and there's uncomfortableness in the beginning until they understand what I'm talking about.
Does it sound to them like you're making excuses for people who either won't grow up or
no, it's all about me?
In other words, if I'm trying to, you know, kind of be the little bit of the devil's advocate for some of my audience out there, because if I didn't understand this, if you were just presenting this to me the first time, I'd be saying, you know, it sounds to me like you're giving new excuses for people who just don't want to bear down.
Yeah, and you know, I think it requires a little bit more than just a few minutes of discussing it. It's looking for the best in people. You hire people because you see something really good in them, and I think this happens typically. We hire somebody because we think they're going to be great, but then they get in and we hamper them from being great. We keep them from being great because we try to squeeze them into what already exists in our culture. So we hire someone because we think they have great ideas. They come into the meeting for the very first time. They have a great idea, especially the young people today. They blurt out their great idea, and you look at them and say, well, we tried that 3 years ago, and it didn't work. You know, what I'm talking about is there's a sensitivity to people's contribution that we want to have. There is a looking for participation. There's a way of... It's a different point of view, and it's also very grounded in the idea. Remember, my core work is customer loyalty. Mm-hmm. So it's very grounded in the idea that vibrant, engaged, you know, what we're really looking for in the customer, you know, where the customer advocates for us, those kinds of customer relationships do not come from mandating anything.
Right.
They come from the discretionary effort that people are willing to give, that going the extra mile behavior. You cannot make that happen unless you're creating a kind of culture where people feel good about coming to work about their job.
She's talking about the employees. They catch, your customers catch that advocacy feeling from the people that they work with, which are your employees. That's what Joanna is saying. Quick break. Right back with Joanna. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.